That's that there's a new group formed called the Canaccorda Trio, and that is a combination of saxophone, cello, and piano. Michael Keep, the saxophone player, Mika Hood, who is known well in North Idaho through the Coeur d'Alene Symphony and many things she does in Sandpoint, many other things. The cellist, David Brewster, a pianist who's especially known around here, and also his piano playing that he does for the for Corral, Coeur d'Alene, and many other things. We'll meet all these people soon enough. They have a concert this coming Saturday at 6:30 at the Heartwood Center in Sandpoint. It's a continuing concert in a series that the festival at Sandpoint is putting on in the off-season. And so we're going to get a sneak preview of that, a piece by Graham Lynch written about 15 years ago for a soprano saxophone, cello, and piano, named after that famous person from Greek mythology, Eurydice. And the whole idea of Orpheus and Eurydice invoked there. The piece is called Eurydice Sings. So from our studio, let's hear this piece played in their premiere performance by the Canaccorda Trio. Thank you. That moody piece, appropriately enough, is a tango. Eurydice Sings, the title of that tango, for soprano, saxophone, cello, and piano, written by Graham Lynch in 2004. The soprano saxophone player, Michael Keep, and the cellist, Mika Hood, and the pianist, David Brewster, who have combined to form this group called the Concorda Trio. And again, a reminder that they are giving their debut concert this Saturday, the 16th at 6:30 at the Hartwood Center in Sandpoint, as an ongoing, as a continuation of a chamber series, which is being sponsored and put on by the festival at Sandpoint. And so, what a treat to hear that lovely, lovely piece. Let's meet each of you. Mika Hood is our good friend from many other visits. Hello, Mika.
Hi, Vern.
And I hate to kind of put too many dates on people, but Ben, you've been around for what, about 10 years or so, give or take?
6 or 7.
Okay, yeah.
Getting there.
And what made you blow into Sandpoint once upon a time?
My now husband is the reason that I'm here. He was already living in Sandpoint when we met. We met in Indiana, where I was currently in school and he had done his undergrad. So he was back visiting friends and we met there. He was already living in Sandpoint, so we were long distance for a while. So after I graduated, I didn't know what I was doing yet, and so I decided I wanted to be with him and be able to play in a beautiful area of the country.
Nevertheless, you know, just graduating, professional aspirations, you go and play for a bunch of trees in North Idaho or something like that. Did you have a few trepidations of making a musical life for yourself?
I did. It was a very scary transition. I didn't have any connections out here. All of them were out in the Midwest. And so it was scary moving, especially because I moved to Sandpoint, a very small town. And so I had to work really hard to make a name for myself. But I feel like I'm getting established and,
no, you
and
certainly
playing
have.
As much as I can.
Well, and you quickly got contacts with several organizations. The Coeur d'Alene Symphony needed you. That was pretty helpful.
Absolutely. That was a huge launching point just to meet other musicians in the area. And that symphony has given me so many opportunities to solo and just be a major part of the organization. And it's been really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Good. And be part of putting together this trio, which includes David Brewster, who also was from here, went away and did all kinds of fancy study with a really great teacher. And good morning, David.
Good morning.
Was there ever an issue of coming back to your hometown versus running off to some other part of the world?
You know, I always, I guess, felt like I wanted to go do something else, and that's what I did. But part of the reason to be in Spokane is to be close to my family because it's where I'm from. And when my wife and I had our first child, we decided that we wanted to raise her and any possible others close to family. So here we are.
And you, as a versatile and fearless pianist, I'll say, I've known you long enough to know that about you, among other things. You've been able to also, kind of like Mika, find niches and places that needed you and could use your talents. Name two or three or four things that you've gotten involved with.
Oh, gosh. Currently, and probably most prominently, I'm with Chorale Coeur d'Alene as their accompanist, and I'm also with Crescendo Community Choirs. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, I'm the music director of Spokane Valley Summer Theater.
And you do a little bit of academia too, don't you?
Currently, but I have in the past.
Yeah, so you've done that as pianist and everything that goes along with being a pianist.
That's right.
Because there's kind of the pianist that can play the notes, and there's the pianist that can think about everything else while you're playing the notes, right?
Right.
And you're able to do that.
Yeah.
To appear. And then the newcomer to me and possibly to various people, Michael Keep, the saxophone player. Hello, Michael, and welcome. And what brought you here?
Well, we moved here, my family, 2 years ago. We moved to the Coeur d'Alene area. And prior to that, I was teaching at the University of Arizona.
Teaching music?
Teaching saxophone, right. And we got to the point with our kids where we knew we didn't want to raise them in the desert. I'm from the Northeast. My wife's from Seattle. We've been looking for about 5 or 6 years for a place to move. And we came up here and visited a friend in Coeur d'Alene about 5 years ago. And then everywhere else we looked, we kept comparing to this area. And we finally just decided to make a move. There was no position for me in academia, but my wife was able to get a job, and we just wanted to make it work and raise our kids in more of this kind of climate. So we're really, 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 really happy to be here and out of the desert, and just really enjoying the outdoor life here.
So you have all those virtues. Nevertheless, each musician needs to find the way to practice your art and do what you've done. How long have you been here? Are you probably just
2 years?
2 years. So, what things have you been able to get going that really allow you to stay close to your art?
Well, after begging these two to play with me, this is really my first professional venture out. Other than that, I've been teaching private lessons. Mm. I created the North Idaho Saxophone Academy to do that, and going out and giving clinics at schools. And I'm a Selmer artist, and I work through Hoffman Music, who's a Selmer dealer, and we've done a few clinics through that as well. So it's just been a matter of meeting band directors and meeting other musicians in the area. I was fortunate enough to be hired for the festival at Sandpoint Summer Music Camp, where Mika and I met, and be a part of that. So that's something very special going on during the summer that I'm happy to be a part of. So gradually getting my feet out the door and meeting more people.
Yeah. Michael Keep, the saxophone player, who in the course of this concert is going to be playing the three primary solo saxophones we just heard from the soprano, and there will be pieces that involve tenor and alto saxophone too. So let's stay with you for a minute. Is this a relatively common combination of a trio of one or other of the saxophones along with cello and piano, or is this kind of the three pieces for that?
Well, it's the three pieces I had in my library. This combination is kind of a take off of a standard piano trio, which is violin and cello and piano. Like the last 10 years or so, this combination with saxophone has been kind of explored, and it's attracting a lot of attention, and I was fortunate to have these composers send me a few pieces for that configuration. And as we explore our group and what we want to do, we're hoping to attract more composers to write for us and for this configuration, and let it grow from there.
Yeah. And Mika, when you, Michael's aware that the world makes saxophone jokes, as the world makes jokes about every instrument, so we exchanged almost one of suddenly playing in a trio with a saxophone. What's that been like for you, as opposed to a piano trio or something?
It's definitely been a different experience, partially just playing with wind players is different. We approach music in a really different way. But I think that's a good thing, to expand our horizons and not only be able to play with string players. But then outside of that, at first I was like, I wish I was playing Brahms. Mm-hmm. But there's something so wonderful about playing music from composers that are still alive today. Mm-hmm. The fact that if we have a question about the music, we can email them and say, hey, can I change this octave, or can I adjust this, or all of that, that's open to us. And I also think there's something very special about choosing what new music actually gets performed, because there's lots of new music being written, and some of it's great and some of it's not. And we're the ones that decide what is going to live on after us. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be in control of that. And so this is a wonderful opportunity to be able to do that.
Nice. And Graham Nash is Graham Lynch. Okay, that was a throwback to another part of my life. Graham Lynch, what do we know about this person?
I met him a while ago. I was working at a record label at the time, and he had submitted some material, and I was really attracted to his writing and contacted him, and he had written a saxophone quartet that my saxophone quartet at the time performed extensively around the country. And we developed a really good friendship overseas. He's from Cornwall, England, And he eventually wrote me a piece, and I premiered that. And then I talked about forming this type of trio even before I moved here, and he says, I have some pieces that would be perfect for that. And he arranged these pieces for us in particular. So, he knew I was moving at the time and said, when you get settled, let me know, and I'll send you some stuff. So that's kind of what we did.
Nice. So there's the piece that we just heard for the three of you, then simply a piece for the two of you, right? For cello and saxophone, also a tango, or a tango-oriented piece. So does that leave you, Mika, playing the tango rhythm for the whole time while he gets the melody?
No, he does a really wonderful job of mixing the parts there. It's a very difficult cello part, but I'm really looking forward to performing it.
And so that's when the composers, and let's go through this list, because another is somebody named Anderson Viana. Who is that?
He's a Brazilian composer who I also met through the record label, and we developed a friendship over the years where I premiered a few of his pieces, and we'll be premiering this piece on the program called First Waltz, which is kind of appropriate for our first performance, our first waltz, if you will. And he's a really lovely melodic composer. There's a lot of composers out there that are very heavy contemporary. Sometimes it's even hard to find a melody, and I tend to prefer and work with composers who are more melodic, like Graham and Anderson. We're happy to premiere this work for him.
And then you're ending with an acknowledged master, the unfortunately late David Maslanka.
Right.
But one that I think really way, more people need to know about him. We need to play more of his music here. Mm-hmm. So talk any of you about discovering this David Maslanka piece.
Well, I've known him for a long time. Mm-hmm. And he was a huge influence in my life, and I'm getting kind of upset here, but he actually wrote this for this configuration, so that tells you where this kind of trio with saxophone, cello, and piano has come to, the level of where David would write for this configuration. And I started working with David in the late 80s, just through his band music, and actually, when we first started looking to this area to move to, we rented an RV and stayed in his driveway for a few days, and he showed us around Missoula, and then we came over here. I contacted David when this was premiered to ask if I could get a part, because usually the people who commission it get to perform that exclusively for a while, and I wanted to know how long that was. He sent me the parts right away, and I performed it on a faculty recital in Arizona. So it's a really powerful piece in a lot of ways. He writes music that kind of transforms. He's very much into the transformation of the individual, and I think you kind of hear that a lot in this piece, where it just ends with it just kind of floating away. It's nice to pay tribute to him and to end our concert with.
So those are the pieces for this combination on this concert, which is this Saturday at 6:30, the Heartwood Center, lovely venue in Sandpoint, as part of a festival at Sandpoint. Series Michael Keep, Mika Hood, and David Brewster. Time flies, so thank you very much for
coming
in.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to this concert.